Officers' Club. As the shadows of dusk lengthened across the Tarragona airbase, Jordan and Aditi strolled to the officers' club for dinner, with their airman escort walking along beside them. He stopped at the steps to the club, though. Almost blushing, he said in a low voice, "I am not an officer." "I'm sorry," said Jordan in Spanish. "Thank you very much for guiding us."
"De nada," the young man said, smiling shyly.
Inside the officers' club, Castiglione was standing at the bar chatting with a pair of men in crisp, well-fitted uniforms. One was gray-haired with a chest full of ribbons. The other was obviously younger, probably the older officer's aide, Jordan thought. The club occupied the entire ground floor of one of the smaller buildings on the base. It was far from plush, with wooden tables scattered across the plank floor and plain, undecorated light bulbs dangling from the ceiling rafters. Jordan almost expected to see the floor covered with sawdust. There was a stage at the far end of the room, with acoustical equipment and microphones stashed to one side of it. Jordan smiled at the lone bartender, a squared-off robot with four extensible arms, its metal body anodized army brown, and a serial number stenciled across its chest. No gossiping with that bartender, he thought. No soulful philosophic conversations long after midnight. Smiling brightly, Castiglione introduced Aditi and Jordan to the two officers, a captain and a colonel in the Spanish Air Force. Jordan got the impression that they were both in the intelligence service. "You are comfortable here?" the colonel asked in English as the bartender stood mutely awaiting their orders.
"Quite comfortable, thank you," Aditi replied.
Jordan asked the bartender for a Amontillado for both himself and Aditi.
"Not for me," she said.
With a knowing smile, Jordan said, "That's all right. I'll drink both of them." Castiglione guffawed. Dinner was pleasant enough. Both the officers knew of Jordan's old reputation as a diplomat, and both were curious about Aditi and her fellow natives of New Earth.
"The entire planet was built by your people?" asked the colonel.
"By our predecessors," Aditi responded.
"Predecessors?"
"Intelligent machines," Jordan explained. "Millennia old."
"Incredible."
Jordan explained, "It was their predecessors, the intelligent machines, that discovered the death wave that's approaching us."
"Death wave?" the captain asked.
As Jordan described the deadly wave of gamma radiation expanding through the Milky Way galaxy at the speed of light, Castiglione said lightly,
"It won't reach our vicinity for another 2,000 years. We have plenty of time to prepare for it."
"But there are other intelligent species," Aditi countered, "on other worlds, much closer to the wavefront. We must help them, or they will all die."
"I suppose we should, sooner or later," said the captain.
"Sooner," Aditi said. "Those creatures will die if we don't reach them soon enough."
"And it will take years, centuries even, for us to reach them," said Jordan.
With a wave of his hand, Castiglione said, "That's a matter for the World Council to consider. For the present, why don't we order our dessert?"
After dinner, Castiglione walked them back to their quarters, chatting amiably about nothing of consequence. At their door, he smiled at Aditi and said, "I hope you have a pleasant sleep."
"And the same to you," said Jordan. But he thought unhappily that Castiglione would dream of Aditi. Once they went to their bedroom, Jordan sat on the corner of the bed and began to slowly take off his shoes.
"You look pensive," Aditi said.
He looked up at her.
"Ever since we returned from New Earth, something has been bothering me. Tonight I finally realized what it is."
She sat beside him, a questioning look in her eyes.
"Nothing's changed," Jordan said.
Aditi blinked at him.
"I've been away from Earth for nearly 200 years, and this world is pretty much the same as I left it." "But the flooding has changed the shapes of the continents, hasn't it?"
"Yes, but that's not what I'm talking about. The people haven't changed. They're pretty much the same as they were when I left for New Earth nearly 2 centuries ago.
"Are they?"
"Oh, the technology has advanced a bit," Jordan conceded. "Even without Mitch's energy screens, they've made progress in transport and energy. I understand they've learned how to use green plants to generate electrical energy. And I suppose there have been new breakthroughs in biomedicine and elsewhere as well, but—"
"But?"
"The people haven't changed," he repeated.
Their attitudes haven't changed. We've brought back irrefutable evidence that there are other intelligent species scattered among the stars, and they shrug off the news as if it's nothing important.
Aditi pondered that for a moment.
Perhaps it will simply take more time for the importance of the news to sink in.
With a shake of his head, Jordan responded, I don't think so. I think the people of Earth are locked in outmoded ways of thinking, and they're not going to change.
We've only been here 3 weeks, Jordan. Give them time to adjust their attitudes.
No, they are not going to adjust. The World Council doesn't want them to adjust. And the Council holds the keys to power, controls the news media, controls their lives. They're burying their heads in the sand, just as they did with climate change.
You think so?
20 billion human beings, living cheek by jowl on this planet. They've locked into a mindset that can't accept change, and Halleck's World Council is happy to keep things that way.
It's a side effect of longevity, Jordan continued. When people can live for centuries, their attitudes, their prejudices, their worldviews live for centuries with them. The world's birth rate has sunk almost as low as the death rate. New generations are too small to have much effect on society. People like Anita Halleck, even Douglas Stavanger, can remain in power for centuries. Society doesn't change. It can't. Not with the same people in charge, with the same ideas and attitudes they've carried around with them for 200-300 years.
Looking truly distressed, Aditi asked,
What can we do?
I'm not sure, Jordan replied. But the first thing is to get out of this prison. We can't do anything while we're bottled up in here.